are now in the pocket with Covell Hudson.
How's it going, pocket heads? You are in the pocket with Covell Hudson. And
Kyle Collier, producing.
Kyle Collier. So what I like to do is I like to throw it to people to say who they are when they're not necessarily ready. You know, to see. Okay. But you were ready?
I guess.
Kyle, his hands were over here doing something, but he got it done.
Gotcha.
How's it going, pocket heads? It is 4/22, 2 days after the unofficial holiday that some people celebrate. It's legal, but we're not going to talk about it. We're just going to say, it was a holiday. Some people think of it as a holiday on Saturday. Hope you guys had a good time. Today, we're going to talk about Tyreek Hill. We're going to talk about some of the comments he made. Tyreek Hill is kind of like an ex that keeps talking about you. You know what I mean? Keep making posts on Facebook. I'm like, we ain't been together for 3 years. What you doing? Like, so we'll discuss Tyreek Hill on a recent podcast. Never short of quotes to pull out of him. We're going to talk about the draft. For the last 3 years, I've been right on the first two picks of the Chiefs. And, you know, I like to be humble. I don't like to always be right. I don't like to pat myself on the back. But, you know, got to give credit when credit's due sometimes. You know what I mean? So we will discuss that, what we think they will do, because the draft is on Thursday, right?
Yes, Thursday.
Yes, it's Thursday. And second, after that, we'll do the Royals rundown. Kyle still has a permanent smile on his face due to how the Chiefs are, the Royals are playing. And then we'll discuss a little bit of NBA playoffs. And then we'll wrap the show up with some It Poops. And if you don't know the show, It Poops is In the Pocket or Out of Pocket, where we ask questions or we make statements. And then us collectively in the pocket will decide if that's in the pocket or out of pocket. And we have an intern from A10 hanging out because Ty... Ty's running behind because he had a gig in Minnesota. So they ended up, you know, yeah, it's a long trip. I thought they was going to get here sooner. He will be here for the second segment. But yes, he's here in spirit.
So now we got time to get our takes in.
So now we can, yeah. Matter of fact, I need to turn this on. I'm sure he's in there. Like I said, like, I don't know if you heard me pause a few times. That's usually when I'm used to Ty, you know, like grabbing the steering wheel and pulling it. But
yeah, with some insane take about Blaine Gabbert or some backup quarterback.
Who's that other quarterback?
Jacoby Brissett.
Jacoby Brissett.
On a tangent.
First day of NFL free agency. We were talking about all the big names that are out there, and he's like, Jacoby Brissett. And I'm like, well, I mean, all right. Like, well, how about Tommy Townsend? Like,
right.
Well, yeah, it's,
right.
It's different echelons. But you know what? He got picked up first day. So that gave Ty. So we had to do a Ty Was Right segment.
Okay.
About Jacoby Brissett.
About Jacoby Brissett in Kansas City at 4:00 on a Monday. Like, who's people in? Where did he get signed? Texans?
I don't even remember.
Yeah, but they didn't even. They weren't talking about Jacoby Brissett at 4:00 at that time, and we were anyway. I don't mean to trash your Ty. I do. But so Kyle. Do you want to? Matter of fact, yes. We have an intern. You want to introduce yourself to the pocket head listeners? You're a pocket head.
Yes. My name is Caden Spruill. I'm a Kansas City native. I'm currently a student at Avalu University. I'll be graduating here in the next couple of weeks. I'm looking to get into the sports talk world and just ready to learn.
Yes. And what makes me feel old is, you know, I used to coach basketball. I like to call myself a young OG. Like, we used to play against his team.
Yes.
I used to coach my brother, and we had a lot of...
We had many battles.
Many battles. And, you know, when there's always mutual respect, but, you know, like, it's not that we didn't like each other. It was just, like, we want to beat them. So,
right.
So, you know, that's how I feel about... Y'all were like the Broncos. How I right. feel about the Broncos. You know what I mean?
Right.
Somebody hurts a finger... I'm like, get him off the court, you know, figure it out. We gotta continue the game, but you know, but yeah. So we go way back. You being all grown with a deep voice, like I said, it makes me feel old. But I digress. Is that the right? That's the right transition word there. All right. So let's talk about Tyreek Hill. So Kyle, what were the quotes of this podcast? Who was he on the podcast with?
It was called the $1 million worth of game podcast, dollars with a Z, with some social media influencer I've never heard of.
I want to do a segment every show where you have to like read a super urban name or something. Okay. So what was the podcast again? Can you say it again?
$1 million worth of game.
I like how you emphasize the dollars. It's good. Yeah, yeah.
Which quote? I mean, he had several. That were of note to me.
So which ones were of note to you?
The first one. Let's go with this one. Kansas City has got a real good running back. I did feel disrespected when they gave him 10, though. I didn't like that there's only one 10. There should only be one 10 in your heart.
And my reaction to that is, boy, you didn't want to take less money. You didn't want to be here anymore. You didn't want to be with the gang. You didn't want to be the side chick, as he said.
Yeah.
So which
one? Yeah, that was actually the first thing I said when I was talking to Curtis about it earlier. And that was the first thing I said is, like, I mean, you should have made the, you know, decision to stay here and, you know, ride it out. You know,
yeah.
I think it's turned out better for the Chiefs in the long run.
But no, for sure. Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, so. And if he were to stay, you know, 10 Hill would be up there on the Ring of Honor.
That's true.
In Arrowhead Stadium. But it's very not. True.
But I do believe that when Tyreek Hill left, he thought he should have got the ball more. He should have been a number one target. He proved that he could in Miami. But he thought he was going to leave the Chiefs and the Chiefs fall apart and crumble. You know, it's like breaking up with somebody, and you're like, they're not going to figure out how to do this and do this.
Right.
And then you see them. So the Chiefs won 2 straight Super Bowls. So that's like your ex getting promoted, you know what I mean, and then getting new. You know, like, yeah, I don't even know what's the equivalent to winning 2 Super Bowls in regular life.
Is Tyreek Hill bitter? Is this what this is?
It's probably a little bitter because, like, everybody's missed a day of work or game. And you want your guys to do good and stuff, but you don't want them to look better
right.
than without you.
Right.
You know, like, yeah, like it's days that, you know, yeah, we have a basketball game and say I miss it. I'm like, hey, I hope the guys compete and win at the last second and think if I was there, we win by 12 because I score 15 points and I make a few, you know what I mean? Right. But you don't want to watch the game and they blowing them out by 22 points.
Yeah, you don't want the guy who took your spot to, you know, go off for 27. Yeah,
you don't
12,
you know? Don't want that. And you know, like, and then, and you got to be a good teammate too. Hey, you hot. Right. Keep cooking. You're just looking at sitting there looking sad. But yes, I think that's a little bit of that. He thought the Chiefs were going to crumble and we're going to be like, we need Tyreek Hill, you know, and it was happening a little bit. And you know what? You weren't here for it. But all season, everybody was panicked. And, you know, along with my co-host, Ty, and Kyle, everybody thought the sky was falling. But I knew the Chiefs were going to be all right, and he won a Super Bowl. And, yeah, he sounds like a sad ex.
Yeah, I mean, that's exactly what it is. And I think, Caden, I think you were absolutely right. I mean, it's worked out. I think it's worked out better for both parties in the long run, too. I mean,
what are the Dolphins? They're not going to win anything.
No, I mean, yeah, probably not with the stiff competition in the AFC, but – Tyreek Hill went to Miami. He became one of the highest paid wide receivers in the league. And he's going to put up numbers that are Hall of Fame worthy.
Yeah.
I mean, he was, if he didn't suffer, I don't know how many games he missed. He did miss a couple this season. But he was definitely on pace to hit that 2K receiving yards.
Well, I didn't think he was going to get the 2K. Yeah.
But point being, it's definitely worked out for both parties. And
yeah,
I can understand if Tyreek Hill looks back at it still and be like, damn, if I would have taken $5 million less, you know, maybe I could still be there. You know,
yeah. And five is a lot.
Yeah, I know.
To be fair,
I know.
But
and he was a 5th round pick, getting paid zero. Right?
Yeah, and the Chiefs didn't let him talk.
That's true. That's
the
true.
Chiefs were like, "Hey, come play football, man! Like, right. No podcast. Like, yeah, a lot of the they didn't make him available to local media too often because Tyreek Hill just says stuff.
Well, speaking of that. His second quote, Covell?
Yes.
So he's talking about the play where Snead jammed him at the line of scrimmage, ended up pushing him down to the ground, right?
Jammed his ass to Cancun, yes.
Yeah, that's right. That's right. So on that same podcast, I'll read this quote from Tyreek Hill. He called me out. He was like, Reek, bro, you're supposed to be blank best player in the blank league. You got this guy putting hands all over you like that. We pay you all this money for what?
And which is, I think, refreshing to hear a coach actually speak to a millionaire that way. Because, you know, once again, we come from AAU, so there's players that play for AAU that can't be held accountable that way.
Correct.
You know, like, hey, I went to, but you know how many times I wanted to say, man, I went to Liberty to pick you up, bro. And you here with an attitude? Like,
right.
You here getting shut down or, you know, you don't want to get in or something. So, yeah, I think it's fair. And I wonder how Tyreek responds to it because, you know, some people, everybody's different. Some people respond to it differently. Has a coach ever came at you like that?
I wouldn't say not. They hadn't. Not with that kind of tone until I got to the college level. And then, you know, at the college level, it's kind of just...
It's not a lot of patience.
Yes, everybody's there. You know, it's every man for himself. So, not until I got into the college level that I ever hear any type of comments like that.
Yeah, and you haven't been on the show. I haven't get... Yeah, so I played at Fort Scott. I'll tell you this real quick. I played at Fort Scott. And, I just got there. And I transferred from Highland. I got kicked off the team at Highland. We don't need to talk about that. Long story short. But I got to Fort Scott, and the wide receivers coach is Touchdown Eddie Brown, which is Antonio Brown's dad.
Okay.
So, you know, but I've actually, it's crazy. Maybe once or twice, but then, you know, like after middle school, I never had a black coach. You know, so it was a black coach, and I was like, Let me talk to him. You know, we walked in the lunchroom, and I was like, let me talk to him, see if we can, just have a conversation or whatever. And I asked him, I said, you know, when I was at Highland, they had me practicing running back and receiver. So I was trying to see if it's an opportunity for me to do that here. And he said something like a real vague, you know, this league is hard to do this, it's hard to learn or something, you know, it's hard to do this or that. And it was like open-ended. And I was like, and he stopped talking. And I was like, so is that a no? And he yelled in my face in the cafeteria, you think I'm bull blanking? You think I'm like, just came at me, hurt my feelings. And I ain't even a sensitive fella. But what was my point in telling the story? Thought I had a point.
Coaches. You know, coming at you.
Wow, I thought I had a more pertinent point. I really thought I had a more pertinent point.
Well, I mean, but what do you think about Mike McDaniel doing that?
Okay, so yeah, there's good ways to come at a player, and there's bad ways to come at a player. There it is. I think that was a good way to come at Tyreek Hill, and the way he came at me just hurt my feelings. My 19-year-old trying to figure some things out.
That's the type of thing I kind of wish the NFL mic'd up would release, you know?
That would be
nice.
Just
to see, because Mike McDaniel, I mean, if you know him at all, he's kind of a quirky dude.
That was what I kind of had to say, yeah. The level of seriousness of that comment, I question, you know, just between the two guys with Tyreek and McDaniel, they both kind of have playful personalities. So it's kind of,
yes,
that adds an element to it, I think.
But a good leader is able to say what needs to be said that the specific person under the leader can hear it and listen to it, you know.
Right.
Because Andy Reid probably would have said, I need you to step up in those moments. That was a bad Andy Reid.
Yeah, it was. That was terrible. That was
I need to breathe different.
You got to leave the impressions to Ty.
Well, Ty's not here. He's on CP time. So yeah, I have to hold that down. But what was the next one?
But all in all, like, I don't know. Just having covered Mike McDaniel we've seen him for in the league a couple of years now, I think that's exactly how he leads this team. He's like, yeah. He's one of the players, it feels like, right?
Mm-hmm. Because you know what? I used to like being challenged, but don't challenge me. Like, I'm a grown man. Don't challenge my grown manness here. Like, how about we just talk and say, because I did have a coach say to me, another example of a coach saying something to me. He said, you're just running around like everybody else. I'm waiting for you to step up and do what you can do. But you're not. You're just out here doing stuff. So, like, I could hear that rather than if he was just, like, cussed at me.
A little bit of motivation mixed in. With
a little motivation. Yeah, just talk to me. Let me know what the problem is. Don't talk crazy. Gotcha. That's my problem in life. I'm not good with people talking crazy to me.
Right.
The only people that talk crazy to me is people that I love. Like, you know, I have three girls, fiance. Them the only people that can talk crazy to me because I can't hit them.
Them and Ty.
Ty likes to talk crazy every once in a while. So, is there any other quotes of note from Tyreek Hill?
No, that's about it.
Anybody miss Tyreek Hill?
I definitely miss the big plays and the, you know, just all the excitement he brought to the Chiefs as a whole. But I think the way that the Chiefs win now is it's more interesting. You never know from game to game how they'll win, I think, is the biggest thing.
Which is true, which is why I'm concerned. We're not talking about the Texans, but I'm concerned about the Texans. I talked about it last week because C.J. Stroud and the Texans won because C.J. Stroud got the ball to the guy that was open, and he figured it out. But now you have Stephon Diggs, which is, if you look up diva receiver,
right.
You know, Stephon Diggs is an example. So look at Baker Mayfield, his rookie year. He broke records. He was like the most efficient rookie. Then they got Odell Beckham, same build and everything. same temperament. One doesn't dance as much as the other one. But that hurt Baker Mayfield. That hurt the team. So, yeah, the Chiefs actually were better, you know. Yeah.
And I think watching the Chiefs last year, at least the first half of the season, I definitely – you know, find myself thinking about number 10, right?
Well, yeah, but I think, like I said, even then.
Because when Rashee Rice was not, fully involved in the offense, we saw him probably getting 40 to 60% of the snaps for probably the first 6 to 8 weeks or something like that.
Yeah.
And you had Sky Moore out there doing 80% of the snaps.
Exactly.
Basically just running cardio out there.
Yeah.
Yeah, I definitely. It was just the Mahomes and Kelce show when Kelce, you know, wasn't getting triple teamed. So, yeah, I definitely found myself missing Tyreek Hill a little bit.
Yeah, but
the big plays were nowhere to be found.
But the thing is, it made Patrick Mahomes better because he – like, I remember when I used to coach. You my brother?
Yeah.
You play
hell of a player.
Yes, thank you. But I used to tell him, you know, like, say it'd be late in the game or whenever in the game, and he drives and make a play, and he passes the ball, and somebody drops it and or misses it, or if somebody misses a shot or whatever, what I used to tell him is, like, you have to know your personnel. If you have this guy at the basket at this angle, you better put the ball right there or he's probably not going to finish it. Some people can grab it here and finish it, but some people you have to put it right there. So you have to know your personnel. And Patrick kind of learned that throughout the season. You know, I wouldn't say you should strive for leading the league in drops, but he had to figure it out. The same thing when he first came into the league, he was throwing it deep. Even with Tyreek still here, we were throwing it deep less because guys were covering over the top, and then he figured it out. So
I think he actually had to do that twice too because, you know, in the 2022 season, he had Juju Smith-Schuster. So yeah. That added, you know, there was another year of, you know, kind of adjusting. That the first part of
last year. He had a refrigerator on his back.
Right, exactly.
And he still almost had 1,000.
Yeah. So I think just this last season was another year of adjusting. So I think next year will be a smoother transition depending on how things go with Rashee Rice. But we'll see how it goes.
You know, like Ty mentioned it on the show that day.
He mentioned a lot of things.
He mentioned a lot of things. But it not being a DUI type situation.
Well, I think it's without question, Rashee Rice is going to miss some amount of games.
Well, yes, but it's not career threatening. It's not team threatening. It may be a Minshew. Like I said, worst case scenario, I think he misses 6 games.
Yeah, I'm thinking 4 to 6 probably.
4 to 6 right. And 8 if they need a set a precedent.
Yeah.
Because they say, we don't know what you had in that car when y'all left and had those duffel bags.
Yeah.
Hey, you know what? Me watching it, it's like, ugh, you know, but hey, what is it? It's not what you know, it's what you can prove. So, yes, I expect him to be gone. But I guess that'll transition us into the draft, the Chiefs draft. Well, everybody drafts on Thursday. And, yeah, I think it's going to be interesting. But the Chiefs signing Hollywood Brown, though, made it to where the Chiefs don't have to go into this draft looking specifically for a guy because the Chiefs are kind of good in every position right now, even receiver because we have Kadarius Toney.
Right.
Yes. Wow, that's – I wasn't expecting right. Usually,
no, that was a sarcastic right.
Yeah,
right.
Usually there's some pushback. We got a lot of talent in the room. Sky Moore does not help the whole light-skinned fella thing. He's not – you know, he's set his back. Drake, these last couple weeks – put you guys ahead a little
bit.
You know what I mean?
Yes,
like,
sir.
I'm in the middle, so I don't get to claim one or the other. I'm too dark for light skin, too light for dark skin. So I'm right in the middle. I just get the referee.
Kind of neutral.
I'm neutral. But What are we talking about? Okay.
The Chiefs draft.
Okay. The Chiefs draft 31st, though, in the
32nd.
32nd. Why 32nd? Yep, 32nd. 32nd, yep. Yeah. It's quality control over there. That's what it means. But the Chiefs draft 32nd, and there's been grumblings. And once again, I hate the new media, sports media, because everybody covers sports. Everybody has inside information. Everybody knows this and that. So it's hard to track down information and see if it's viable. But they were saying the Chiefs may move up. And Veach was, when he spoke, he was saying, he was talking about guys with high grades. If they fall, then they're going to try to move up. But there's not a lot of AFC teams. Not a lot of teams in the league that's going to help the Chiefs out. But I do believe the Chiefs will try to. So I've been battling this one. Wide receiver, left tackle.
Now, reports were last year that the Chiefs attempted to trade up for Zay Flowers.
Yes, I'm glad we didn't do that. He fumbles on the goal line and stuff. Like, we don't need that in the world. We got drops over
but,
here.
I mean,
it
makes you think, like, is Veach, I don't know, is he watering at the mouth thinking about, okay, I got to do it this year? Because they've only got Hollywood Brown for a year. Let's say he has a good season. He's going to be looking to cash in in the next offseason.
No, for sure. I believe you. So you're saying you think
so? So basically, to me, I think you're right. It is down between offensive tackle or a wide receiver.
Yes, but tackles, after you get to the after you get through that first rung of players, probably 15, the elite first round, second round draft pick tackles, it falls off. So that's why I believe if the Chiefs move up two or three, or even stay where they at, we're able to get a big possession receiver because we're only renting Hollywood Brown. And this right receiver room needs somebody 6'1 or 6'2, 209 pounds. That's a specific guy, actually. But
you're thinking about Justin Watson, aren't you?
No. No, I'm thinking about not having to think about him during the season. No offense. But, you know, yeah, he's been with the Chiefs. How long has he been with us? Not 2 years?
I think. Three, maybe four.
Yeah, you know, come on. Like,
MVS is still a free agent.
Come on, like, and you know what? I was a big MVS guy during the before the season. What did I say? I thought he was going to get.
You said something ridiculous, like he's going to have 1,100 yards or something.
I thought he was going to have 1,100 yards. It should have lined up that way, but it's progression. And you know what? I will blame that on y'all. You know, remember early in the season they were playing 12 receivers. Everybody got the ball, and I was saying, you know, like, more isn't always better because nobody could figure out getting to a – so I think that's my excuse for MVS. But I'd like for the Chiefs to draft a wide receiver, a big possession guy, somebody that can, be here. Like, I want the cornerback version of Trent McDuffie. That's what I want.
Yeah, that sounds nice.
That sounds nice. I'll even take Dwayne Bowe at this point. A Dwayne Bowe type. Just somebody big.
Big guy.
Big guy that we can put on the sides, move into the slot, but somebody that can go up for the ball. Hollywood can, but he's my size.
Yeah. And you're thinking big possession type receiver, right?
Yes.
I mean, you want to do all you can, I would think, to take the pressure off of the back of going to be 34-year-old Travis Kelce now.
Yes.
Right?
And we were talking about that last year. We need some more bodies to take some of that banging.
Pause. In the red zone.
Pause.
In the red zone especially, in the red zone especially, I think is one of the areas that they need to improve. I think everybody knows once it gets inside the 20, we're looking to go to 87. So
yeah.
I think finding somebody to really help us capitalize on those possessions. I feel like in the playoffs, we settle for field goals so many times. So I think helping us find somebody that can, you know, help us capitalize on those possessions and get in the end zone is something that they'll look for in the wide receiver.
Carson Wentz. Okay. That's
not quite what I was thinking.
Not what you had in mind.
Not what I had in mind.
The QB sneaks with Carson Wentz.
You don't want to.
Is that not the
pop
answer?
Mahomes out to slot and then have him behind center?
Yeah.
Okay, fair enough. But yes, like not only the red zone, but anything three and less. If it's third and three, I'm sweating and I shouldn't. Third and 10, I feel good about it. But third and three, yeah. So I think, but is that, what is that? That's not even what we're talking. What is that specifically?
A lot of people like to blame it on Andy Reid being a little bit too cute, but.
Wow, that's
frankly.
That's what it is.
Frankly, like last year, just the weapons weren't really there, you know, until Rashee Rice got a little bit more involved.
But we can't even run it for a yard. What is that? We have a good offensive line. What is that?
I don't know. You just didn't see Sky Moore running too many, you know, third and three, go five and take a left, you know, run some slants there.
And it wasn't just a last year problem either, I don't think. It's been a problem for a few years now.
I guess it's one of those things where you get through three Super Bowls, you're going to have some warts. You know what I mean? So I guess we shouldn't try to poke at it. But, man, why is that? Because we don't have a soft offensive line. Orlando Brown hurt us a little bit. He was slow off the ball, but we can't blame it all on him. I don't know. But my final, I do believe the Chiefs will draft a wide receiver unless something crazy happens, somebody fall. I don't think that'll happen. And I think the second pick won't be an offensive tackle. I think it's going to be a corner. I think they feel good about corner, but Legarius Sneed left, and a lot of guys in our corner room get hurt. They get banged up a little bit. So I believe for them to go wide receiver and cornerback, and then after that, I don't even look at it no more because it gets too confusing.
Yeah. I think you can definitely expect some defensive line picks.
Yeah, but we returned everybody on defense. So that's the thing. Like, you got seven picks, and everybody's just icing on the cake.
Yeah. So, for sure.
Yeah.
You got back-to-back Super Bowls, you know. Everything they do is going to be a little bit of icing on the cake.
Yeah.
But if they draft wide receiver, you think they go corner? See, I think they go offensive or defensive line.
I think defensive line.
But that second pick is pick like 65.
Yeah.
So spending a second-round pick on a tackle that can probably be there in the third or fourth round, that's why I think they're not going to get a tackle in a second because – it's you get a tackle in the first 20 picks or hope you get lucky after the third round. Yeah, I don't think it's a
– yeah, and that's kind of what they did with Wanya Morris last year.
Yes.
He was a third rounder, I believe. Second round. You might be right there, Coville.
And you see – I'm always right. I'm just playing. But you see how they feel about Wanya even to this day. They're like, he probably can't start. That's because we didn't get him in that sweet spot. We got him right at that end. So imagine if they would have spent a second rounder on him. You know, so yeah.
Well, right now, if we were to line up and play, Wanya Morris would be the left tackle.
Yes, and I am.
Does that make you feel good? Or do you think you drafted somebody in the first round that would make you feel better?
I want to draft somebody and bring an old dude in. No offense, Donovan Smith, but I kind of want him back.
Yeah, he is still available.
Yes, I'd like him back and draft somebody, and Wanya has to beat a young fella and an old fella.
That's how you
earn your stripes in this league. That's what we need from left tackle. You like that?
Yeah.
Veach, if you're listening. he's definitely not listening, I don't think. But do y'all have any other takes on the draft?
I think if you get to maybe in that 22 to 24 range and there's still a tackle that they like there that they might consider trading up maybe. But like you said, I think if you don't get anything in the first round, then you're going to have to, you know, take a couple shots in the dark in the third round, maybe fourth. But I think maybe defensive line or cornerback will be the first pick. That's what my guess is.
Okay. And so out of us three, do we think they stay at 32 or are they moving?
I think they stay at 32.
Either up or back.
I think they're staying because 80% of the league is like, we're not doing business with the Chiefs.
Yeah, yeah.
If I was playing 2K, I mean, if I was playing Madden, I wouldn't trade with the Chiefs if they just won two straight Super Bowls. I'm like, nah, figure it out.
Yeah.
Unless I need you to take this bad contract.
Veach has some comments on that today. He said that, you know, it seems like there's a little bit of interest. That was his exact words, that there's a little bit of interest that comes with it. There's a little bit of higher tax when doing deals with, like, other AFC competitors, you know, Buffalo, the Ravens, Bengals.
Yeah.
Teams like that, so... I don't think anybody's looking to do us any services.
No, yeah. So I wouldn't even. You need somebody to be desperate to try to trade with you for us to trade. If it's not that, then we got what we got, or we're gonna have to pay a whole bunch of stuff.
Right.
And somebody's gonna want to trade for Kadarius Toney, and I'm gonna say no. We're keeping him. We are keeping him here because I'm invested. All right, I'm invested. Every week I've mentioned Kadarius Toney because he's gonna have a great year this year. But sometimes that happens to my mouth. Kyle, do you have anything else on the draft?
No, I just have a weird feeling Veach is going to try to move up.
Yeah, I think he's trying the last few years.
Not to 28, not to 29. I think he tries to go in that 20 or 22 range.
I hope not.
He's only moved down once. now to get Sky Moore when we passed up on, well, I guess you could say passed up on Pickens, but we traded down.
Yeah.
So.
And you know what? Another one that hurts my feelings a little bit, when the whole Tyreek thing happened, and he should have took less money. We stood with you. Anyway.
That was, yeah. It's a different topic.
Yes. But what were we talking about?
Him trading down, trading up.
Oh, yeah. Tyreek Hill was in limbo, kind of like Rashee Rice. It's a every 5-year thing here for some reason. But
that was the Hardman draft.
Yes, we got Hardman. And was it DK Metcalf or Deebo Samuels
that
we could have got?
It was Metcalf.
Metcalf. If we got DK Metcalf, I think a lot of things would have been different, you know, as far as
right.
what our offense looks like. I think we're better on third and short with DK Metcalf out there, to be completely honest with you. Because Hardman, he was a Super Bowl hero. But remember a few games before that Super Bowl?
Super Bowl hero. Covell, you and I would have caught that pass.
Yes. Yes, but.
I mean, come on.
But that doesn't matter. It's
That's
what.
That's true. That's
you
true.
Because look, after that, the couple weeks after the Super Bowl, he was going on shows and they were like, Chief Superstar McCole Hardman. We're like, we don't think of him like that. We don't claim him as that. You know, like if you know your cousin, if it's your favorite cousin, you say your favorite cousin. If it's your cousin, you'd be like, that's just my cousin. Settle down. But I've been trying to get out of this for a while, but I keep going back in.
Yeah, but you brought up DK, but Caden, I think you know this, but you know, Serena Curtis liked to bring up how when Brett Veach is, you know, on his Hall of Fame, doing his Hall of Fame inductory press conference, people are going to ask him, why did you pass up on DK Metcalf? He's always going to get crap for that.
Always.
Well, but he had a valid reason. We thought, nobody
we
thought.
We needed speed for Tyreek Hill. He thought Tyreek Hill was.
And he thought Mecole Hardman was going to be a game changer. He just I'm not going to trash anybody. Not throwing any shrapnel. Matter of fact, no shrapnel was thrown today. And shrapnel is sometimes Kirk Cousins used to get it all the times because he's a Minnesota dude. And we're talking about elite quarterbacks, and he would bring him up. And I'm like, come on.
Yeah.
Have you seen his button-ups? All right.
So who do you think they take it wide out? Who do you think?
I don't know. It's so weird with us having a 30-second pick.
Right.
Is that dude Ladd? McConkey?
Ladd McConkey, yeah.
Ladd McConkey, I like him. It was another dude, too. You brought him up about that.
Mel Kiper, his most recent mock draft had Xavier Leggett.
Okay.
Yes, he's not. To be honest, I just want a big receiver.
Right.
Yeah.
That's how we're spoiled as Chiefs fans because just give me a big receiver.
And
I'm good with
the Chiefs are
draft.
At 32 and let's say Adonai Mitchell is there,
yeah,
I'm going to be screaming at the television.
But he's 5'10".
I think you're thinking about Worthy. His other
every
Texas
week
Texas
these mock drafts have changed.
Oh yeah,
every week I'm like, why do
it's
I have to care about this dude
week.
Now? Yeah, why do I have to care about him now?
I think assuming that they don't take a wide receiver in the first round,
Adonai Mitchell 6'4", Covell.
Okay, I'll take that.
I think my guess is that's who I like the most as well. But I like Devontae Walker from North Carolina.
Okay.
Yeah.
I think if we don't go wide receiver first round, I think that's who we go with late in the second.
I think we should. Yeah.
He's a big guy and he missed some games. I don't know if you guys know about. He had missed some games due to eligibility issues from the NCAA. Mm. So he missed some games this past
season.
It's
hard to get. NCAA, it's hard to get in trouble now.
Right, exactly.
Take money and everything.
But, so I think he's a little bit underrated due to him missing some games. But, you know, in the games that he did play in, he had some big-time performances. So
I think I know what you're talking about.
He's a big guy. He's fast, you know. So I think he's a guy that
– And that's
that
kind
Chiefs
of the that's kind at. Of the money area that Brett Veach likes to go with his wide receivers the second round.
Yeah, but like, let's just get a big dude. He don't even have to be fast. We just need a big dude in here. Let's do that. Like,
Rashee Rice didn't run the fastest 40, you know. But obviously, he was an explosive dude, and he's not the biggest of guys. But
for a
guy who runs a lot of routes out of the slot, he caused some matchup problems for you know some of those corners who are 5'9", 5'10".
But I'm just tired of it. Seems like since. Dante Hall. Before Dante Hall, Snoop Minutes. Like, Chiefs, why are we always drafting a little receiver? Dexter McCluster. We had DeAnthony Thomas. Yeah. Like, can we draft a big dude?
They drafted John Baldwin.
can we draft a good big dude? Like, like he was.
He had a refrigerator on his back as well. Yeah.
No, he had Thomas Jones' fist in his on his back. Like, you remember he came in? I guess he wasn't the same player until after he got pieced up by Thomas Jones. Because he was like, I think it was something like, you know, some of these tell rookies. And he was like, you know, he said something back that Thomas didn't like. Yeah. And he lumped him up real quick. And I don't think he played. He broke his jaw or something. But anyway, we got to get out of here. Yes, Chiefs. I believe Chiefs are going to draft the wide receiver. And the best segment in the city is Covell was right. So, you know, next Monday, we're going to most likely be able to say Covell was right. I'm going receiver and corner, which is not conventional thinking. But I think they'll risk on a cornerback since we lost. Yeah, yeah. All right. We'll be back. We are back, Pocket Heads. In the pocket, you're listening to 94.5 FM, 1510 AM, ESPN, Kansas City. And, yes, usually the Royals are under 500 right now. Usually the Royals are doing something real disrespectful. And they're usually pushed to the end of the, you know, show. But
or not talked about at all.
Or not talked about at all. That was last year's edition of Royals Rundown. We did it the first few weeks. And then we threw it out.
Yeah, about third week in April, I said, let's just scrap that segment.
Yeah, and April started with his shoulders here, but then after the, you know, the Royals kept losing.
A little bit down, a little bit.
Yeah, it looked like a devastating shoulder accident. Like, what happened? but yes, let's go ahead and do Royals Rundown, brought to you by Kyle Collier.
I know you're excited about this, Covell.
Oh, yeah.
I can see it in your face. All right. Since last Monday, I predicted the Royals would go 4-2 over their next six games. Well, they went 3-3, but that's all right. I believe Ty said 5-1. He was feeling a little bit better than I was. But what they did was they took 2 of 3 from the White Sox, bad team. So you better beat bad teams, right?
Mm-hmm.
Then you've got the Baltimore Orioles for 3 over the weekend. The K, actually. A lot of people there in attendance, which was nice to see, you know, yes. Finally. I think people are starting to recognize that this team's a little bit different.
Yes,
I
saw them
wiping dumpster fire of a team.
They were wiping cobwebs off those extra seats that haven't been sat in since 2016.
That's right. That's right. No, those seats up top, they actually got used because they were $9 last year.
Yes. They were giving away. It came with a Big Mac.
That's right. They were begging you to come sit in those seats.
I did notice as I drove past the stadium, there was a lot more people, you know, in attendance than I had seen the previous week.
So. It was traffic. I was like, what's going on?
Yeah, yeah. Coming home from work, I'm like, man.
Settle down. What's going on there?
No, that's a good thing.
It's
and,
a good thing.
Even though they fell short of my 4-2 prediction, I mean, good teams, you're supposed to beat up on the bad teams. The White Sox are probably the worst team in the league this year that you did exactly that. Then you got Baltimore coming into Kansas City for 3 games. Baltimore's the best team in the American League. They won 100 games last year. And the Royals played them close. They beat them down Friday night, 1-9-4. Then Saturday, Cole Reagans gets lit up first 2 innings. Yep, gives up 7 runs. So it was 7-0. But the Royals, they come back. They brought it to a 8-7 ball game. They ended up losing 9-7. But still, I feel like last year's team, they lose that game
14-2.
Yeah.
14-2.
And you've got the bench. You've got Garrett Hampson coming in off the bench to throw some pitches, right?
Yeah.
Have a position player on the mound. Sunday, just the offense just couldn't get anything going. Lost 5-0. That being said, Royals are still in second place in their division. Their run differential, they are sitting at plus 38 right now. It's still good times to be a baseball fan in Kansas City.
And the Chiefs are Chiefs. The Royals are, I looked at a few polls, they're 6-1 power ranking and 8 in another. So nationally, the Royals are getting a little bit more respect.
Yeah.
So I'll put more respect on their name.
Yeah. So this upcoming week, we've got 7 games. We've got 4 against Toronto, another playoff team from last year, or maybe they just missed out last year, but they won 89 games last year. So that's a contender, I would call them.
Yeah.
So you got 4 against Toronto, then you go on the road to Detroit for 3. And right now, Detroit is right on Kansas City's heels. They are 12-10. Kansas City sits at 13-9. So you got 7 games against 2. I would say 1, the Blue Jays, who are kind of arriving, and the Tigers, who are up and coming. Seven games, give me... I need above 500. I need 4-3 at least.
4-3?
Mm-hmm.
And I forgot at the beginning of this segment, because you said 4-2 last week, right?
Yeah. They fell short, 3-3.
And I forgot this was supposed to be a Royals rundown and a Kyle was wrong segment. That's what I forgot to announce.
I wasn't that wrong.
It wasn't that wrong, but, you know, hey.
Ty said 5-1.
You said what?
Ty said 5-1.
Well, Ty says a lot of things. Ty says a lot of things.
And, regardless, give me 4-3 this week.
The Blue Jay series starts tonight, correct?
Tonight.
Okay. Good.
You think they're going to win two of those?
They better.
Yeah, they should.
Yeah, four games against Blue Jays, who are, yeah, to be fair, good team. I think they are a little bit better than the Royals, no doubt. But you got to at least split that series, I think.
So the Reagans, the pitcher that got lit up,
mm-hmm.
Where is he in the rotation?
He's the ace.
Oh, my Lord.
It happens.
Oh.
I see it in your
That's
face.
That optimism that we had until the end of April last year.
I got you.
Last year I was big on Brad Keller, and I think he lasted maybe a month.
Yes. So how do you come back from that thing?
You come back by facing, let's see, who he's going to have.
Does he have some get-better medicine over there coming up?
He will. I mean, he throws 100 miles an hour. He's got disgusting off-speed pitches. He'll be fine. He'll be fine.
But, like, does he have history of having a clunker and then coming back, putting together?
Not really, because he's got a short major league career, but he's already faced Baltimore once, and he shut him down. You know, second time around, Baltimore's going to knock you around a little bit. They learn who you are. They got film on you. They've already faced you.
Yeah.
It had only been about a week and a half since he faced them.
Yeah, it wasn't very long since the last time he faced
them. So I give him a pass there. Say he gets lit up against Detroit, I'm going to be like, okay, I'm a little bit worried. But, you know, there's nothing really wrong. His velocity's fine. Baltimore, they're just a damn good team. They're loaded, frankly.
But, you know, like, remember the year that the Heat were in the finals the first year against Dallas? And they were like, you know, it was the first year they had LeBron.
Mm-hmm.
And they started losing those games, and everybody was like, here, LeBron, do it. Figure it out. So when your ace, when your top dog gets shut down or he can't do anything, it's like Superman. You know, they're like, what is the Justice League?
Mm.
Superman
and
the Justice
League?
Yeah,
but even though your ace got lit up, the Royals came back in that game. They were down 7-0. Came back, the score was 8-7.
Are we talking moral victories here? Is that what we're doing?
I'm talking last year. I'm talking last year's team loses that game 12-2.
Yes,
and they've got a position player pitching the ninth inning, throwing Ephesus. You know,
but I've given you this example before. It was, I think it was Mikel's senior year, and they came back from Christmas break, and I remember telling them, hey, make sure everybody's ready. Make sure everybody's ready to go because you know everybody's all fat and lazy from the break. So make sure y'all go in there ready to play because it was a good team. I think it was Blue Spring South. I don't remember.
Okay.
But it's like, make sure y'all ready. Y'all can't go into that game not ready to play. They went into the game, went down by 25 points at halftime. And then they came back and ended up winning by like 6. And everybody was excited. Everybody was celebrating the comeback win. And I was mad because we went down by 25 points. Like, why did we get down 25 points? So that's the – like, what is the root cause of it? Is it something that can be fixed or is – can we just expect?
Yeah. But to your point of, you know, seeing Superman, you know, dying, right?
Yeah.
Right? Their ace gets lit up and 7-0 against the best team in the American League, and they didn't quit.
That's true. Aquaman was like, I'm going to get these Dolphins, bro.
And they've shown that ability to fight back consistently this year, I think. And
that's
not,
you did not see that last year.
Yeah.
All right. It seems like 2016 when the Royals won.
15.
Wow, it's longer than I thought. Yeah. But that's, like, I had to be talked into them being good. So that's where I feel like I'm at now. They're in second place.
Yeah, no, it's definitely, it's a young season. But,
yeah.
You know, I think you talk to Jack Johnson, talk to myself, talk to anybody else who watches basically every pitch of the Royals.
Die hard Royals
fans?
Yeah,
you can call them die hard. That's right. Talk to anybody like that. There's a different feel around this team. They've got adults in charge, it feels like now.
Yeah.
The vibes are a little bit different this year.
And let's not forget why. They want that stadium downtown.
Well, yeah.
They want that stadium.
Yeah, and you better field a better team.
Yeah.
And so far it looks like they're accomplishing that goal.
Yeah.
And that is it for my Royals rundown. Give me 4-3. We'll talk to you next week.
All right, bet. Well, that's felt like the end of the show. All right, we're wrapping it up.
No, I'm wrapping it up.
But so we won't be able to speak NBA because we were a bit long-winded, but we will come back for some It Poops, and I believe I'll give you a sheet of paper, or if you can just keep it in the head like Lil Wayne and Jay-Z, I don't know. Whichever you want. But we'll come back after this, and we'll do some It Poops. It's nothing gross. It's In the Pocket or Out of Pocket after this. Ooh, that feels like nostalgia. That reminds me of I used to get up early in the mornings and watch NFL, what's it called? NFL Rewind? NFL
Red Zone?
Not Red Zone. It used to come on NFL Network. Like old school games.
Oh, okay.
Like classic games. NFL Classic. NFL,
I think it was Rewind. I think you're right there.
Yeah, Rewind, NFL Classics or whatever. And then hearing this, it used to make my day.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, if I hear this in the other room, I'm walking in there to see what's happening. That's for sure. But we're back in the pocket. Covell Hudson.
Caden Sproul.
Kyle Collier producing.
Everybody's ready. That's good. That's good.
And on the phone line. There he is.
Sorry, you got me.
He wasn't ready, man.
You got me. Yeah.
What up, man? Yeah, we thought you were coming. I didn't see your text message say.
Yeah. It took me an hour to get through downtown.
Well, that's no bueno. That's no bueno. But, you know, you're sticking to your roots. CP time. That's what I'm talking about. That's what. Keeping it real. But yeah, we'll do some It Poops. Who wants to lead off It Poops today?
Covell, I feel like you should lead off. I feel like every week we do this, you always get the short end of the stick.
Well, I do, but I like to hear the foolishness that y'all come up with. I like to.
Oh, really? Yes. Oh, since I've been dogged out, I'll go ahead and start, guys.
All right.
Oh, okay.
All right. The Chiefs will get an offensive lineman in first pick of the draft.
Oh, that's out of pocket.
I think that's going to be pretty clear.
Completely out of pocket. Yeah. Like, the Chiefs aren't.
I'm kind of halfway in, halfway out. I think it's either offensive tackle, and I just don't know. I feel like if Brett Veach wants a wide receiver, he's going to move up. So I'm going to say half in, half out.
But there's not a team in this league that is going to trade a pick that is going to solidify a weakness for the Chiefs. There's nobody that's going to be like, oh, they need a left tackle. They're going to get him. Yeah. Go ahead and
give
pick.
Pat Mahomes some more protection.
Yeah, go ahead and do that.
The reason I said that is because only because of my second It Poop would be that they're going to have one of the best dual quarterback plays with Carson Wentz on the field.
That's one of your It Poops?
Yes. Yes.
Well, I mean,
you know what? I'm going to say I'm with you, Ty. I'm in the pocket there.
Andy Reid's a genius, man.
Yeah, but they're not going to just be throwing Carson Wentz out there like that.
I'm not saying that they're going to just throw him out there like whoop-de-doo, but it's going to happen.
What about whoop-de-dee? Whoop-de-dee. How about that way? I say out of pocket. Like, I don't even think they're going to use him on the short yardage and stuff. I think Carson going to be over there holding the clipboard.
He's been very successful with the quarterback sneak. But, yeah, Andy Reid might have something devious cooked up.
But Patrick, I don't think Patrick wants to get off the field.
Probably not, no.
Or even go out at slot.
He did one time. Went out for a pass that got intercepted.
Long as Patrick Mahomes is on the field, he poses a threat. So
not at receiver. Hey, Patrick Mahomes is rated like 18 as a receiver if he was playing Madden. Like,
okay, all right. Those are the two for me, guys.
All right. I'll get mine out of the way so you guys can go ahead.
All right.
The number one threat in the AFC to the Chiefs this year, the Houston Texans.
Completely.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know, right?
What made you move up so fast?
Stephon Diggs, the biggest problem in the league. He's like, he hasn't been happy anywhere, so he's going to go to a young nucleus where things are kind of working. A young coach, young quarterback, young receivers. Oh, yeah, that's a recipe for disaster.
So you're
out of the pocket.
You put completely him over Baltimore?
Over Baltimore and Cincinnati.
Oh, wow.
I'm a CJ Stroud believer.
Out of pocket.
See, okay. I think the Baltimore is going to do what they do. They're going to be good during the regular season. And then they're going to lose when they need their quarterback to not be a running back.
Okay.
It's disrespectful, I know. I've been good today, though.
One more quick one. This is for you, Covell. After LeBron gets swept by the Nuggets this year, he's got one more year, and that's to play with his son, and then he's out.
Yeah, in the pocket.
His son needs to go back to college. His son needs to go back to college, and the Lakers are going to win at least two games, if not win the rest of the games this series.
You think so?
I hope so.
It's going to be a gentleman's sweep.
Yeah. No, I think the Lakers are going to get a couple
they'll
wins.
They'll win one game.
Out of pocket. And him, as far as he threw a little bonus thing on there, he plays two or three more years.
Okay.
Still the best, sixth best player in the league.
Okay.
Out of pocket.
All right, you guys go ahead.
The Royals will be a 500 baseball team.
I'm in the pocket, Caden.
Of course.
In the pocket.
It's a great question.
You are. So I'm trying to think. Our ace can get smacked up. Who's the third guy? The third dude can get smacked up, too.
Yeah, it goes Cole Reagan, Seth Lugo, who got kind of knocked around on Sunday.
Yeah.
And then it goes Brady Singer, then Michael Wacha, then Alec Marsh.
Okay, ooh, over 500.
Listen, they've got their top three in the major leagues and giving up runs. They're doing well.
Not over 500, so that's 81. Not over.
81 wins.
81 wins.
What's the record? Projected about 80 right now.
See, I'm hanging out the pocket. I'm halfway in.
I'm fine with that.
Okay. Because a couple things, a pitcher gets hurt, you know, Salvi looks like he's over 30 again, you know.
No, he doesn't.
No, I said if he looks like
he's
over 30.
He looks like he's 23 right now.
Yeah, how old is he? What is he, like 14?
33. He's 33. He's 33.
We thought he was like 55 because he's been here forever. But you had any more?
Yeah, I got one more. I think the Sixers win the series over the Knicks.
Woo! Out of pocket.
Out of pocket.
Embiid gets hurt breathing.
Out of pocket.
Yeah.
He's not going to last down.
I'm gonna have to go out of pocket right now. I think the Knicks' magic is just working right now.
Yeah.
Jalen Brunson is a dog.
I wasn't impressed with their win the other day. I feel like the Sixers played as bad as they could play, and they just squeezed by. And the Knicks played as good as they could, in my opinion.
Probably true, yeah.
Yeah. I say out of pocket.
Okay.
I say out of pocket.
Okay.
Yeah, anymore?
That's it.
All right. So let's go ahead and go NBA. I had a few. Anthony Edwards will be the face of the league if he wins a championship this year.
Ooh.
What?
Y'all
out of pocket.
Out of pocket?
Yeah, I said gotta go out.
I
think the league still puts Luka ahead of him, the Joker ahead of him.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Luka's not going to get out of this round.
The Joker.
Yeah,
Joker. Oh, God. Okay. That's ridiculous.
But I'm saying if Minnesota keeps playing like they're playing, they could have been the one seed, but they got the two seed. If he stays hot and keeps a little boy in legends like he did Kevin Durant, I think he could. Yeah, I think he could. 15 seconds? I should have started. I told you. I should have started. But yes, I want to say thanks to Caden for coming in here.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Ty, for being on CP Time. Thank you, Kyle. And we'll be back next Monday to see what the Chiefs do and see what the Royals do. And that's all. Yeah, we'll be out of here. See you next week.
Peace.